Wow. Wow. That's the first time I've heard that particular piece, and I'm delighted. This is Carol here with Arts Live and Local, and I've got a wonderful show for you today. I actually, personally, I think all the shows are wonderful, not because of me, but because of my fabulous guest. This week, it just so happens that all three of my guests are present or former KMUN programmers and local artists themselves, as well as moving beyond. So it's lovely for me. And for you, I'm sure it will be. You're going to hear more about that piece of music. I don't have a name for it, but I can tell you it comes from a beautiful CD with black and white art on it. That's how you know. It's my first guest who will be coming up soon, Liz Harris. But first, I want to send this show out, as I try every week, for peace and healing in the world. And I don't think I've been very successful, but I'm just adding my voice and our voices to those of people all over the world who are sending their energy in the same direction. So, yeah, to Palestine and Israel, Ukraine, Russia, Iran, Afghanistan, Haiti, Sudan, and so many other places, including right here in the United States, big time. And fortunately, and I know this firsthand, especially because I'm able to host so many fine people, we have incredibly creative, rich minds in our community, in our country. And I've got to keep hope while staying active and in the streets. Don't give that up, folks. Sending special healing to Mari and her family on the passing of Jim Bergeron, well-known member of the community and the father of our station manager. Also, reaching out further to, I guess, the whole world, who has already started missing Dolly Parton, although her music is everywhere and will remain everywhere live, in our hearts and our ears and in writings. And I think a lot of people are being surprised by who this woman really was, in addition to being an amazing singer. And that is tremendous celebration and example, and opening doors for others, not slamming them behind you when you make it big. And then I have some very personal healing wishes for Bob and Vivian and Donnie, and for Wendy, strong healing, for Robert and Janet, Noel and Karen, to Hope and Gina, Gail, Jean and Carl, and Patty and Issa, Riva, Gary and Ruth, and Victoria. And may nature feel herself unprovoked by humankind, and may we all be able to live in a more peaceful, calm space, including the people of Nepal and Tibet, which is shocking what's happening there, as well as Colombia, Venezuela, Indonesia, Spain, Japan. How does somebody have hope? Well, we have hope because we've also got celebrations. We've got a great big Mazel Tov going out to Amelia Fitch. Yes, sirree. And her lucky, soon-to-be mate. I guess maybe already. Amelia, yes, I remember betting when she was going to be born. That was a few years ago. And to today, special birthdays again, we have a couple of KMUN people. Norma, Admiral Norma Hernandez. Happy birthday, feliz cumpleaños. Listen to her on one of those Thursday nights, along with Mary Ann. And to one of our former station managers, Lisa Smith, in Philadelphia. Happy birthday, Lisa. And closer to home, to Diane Speakman, happy birthday. Sunday, I'm sending some special wishes to Lauren Goldman Quinn and to Jeannie McLaughlin. And Monday, oh boy, here's that KMUN, the guy who put me on the air during COVID, and that would be Nevada. He sat right where I'm sitting. He ran the board, made the phone calls, put on the music, and I sat in the car outside. Never saw his face for months until masks came off. It was quite an experience. Happy birthday, Nevada. We love you. Also, Tuesday, Robert Freeman. And Wednesday, more KMUN, Adriana. And to Terry Remington on her 90th birthday, a beautiful local artist whose work I am pleased to have in my home. So my first artist is actually a visual artist and a musician. And I met her as a visual artist. And then we started bumping shoulders in the activist world because she created a space and has used it for amazing, wonderful projects for this community. So I will welcome Liz Harris. So glad to have you here, Liz.
Hi, thanks for having me, Carol.
Now, again, Liz is, which Wednesday nights are you?
Every second and fourth Wednesday.
That's the Garbage Man, in case you weren't sure. If you paid attention to the music we heard, and we'll hear a little more, you may recognize it. Liz has changed my listening habits because I paid attention to her show because I know her as a human being. I figured she must be doing something good. And sure enough, I started to really enjoy and appreciate it. And sometimes go slowly moving through my home and hearing voices that were unusual. So I'm excited to say that Liz, as grouper, and I will let her explain to you how she comes up with names and why and lots more. What was a surprise to many people is that it turns out that this grouper is a phenomenon in this country. And 2008 breakthrough with a song I swear was dedicated to Brownsmead called Dragging a Dead Deer Up a Hill, right? How do you come up with these titles? Where were you living at the time? That...
That song title comes from a memory I have in childhood of, we were feral kids. I grew up in a hippie fourth way community on the West Coast. And there was a girl who was kind of my bestie, almost like a sister. And we would run around unsupervised in the backwoods of Sonoma County. And we found a deer carcass at the bottom of a hill once. And
oh, gosh.
She ordered me to drag it up the hill.
Oh, my God. So it's a true story.
It's a true story. Yeah. And
wow. And it stuck with you.
It stuck with me, yeah. Thinking later, I wasn't traumatized by it or anything, but later on, you know, it's a really vivid memory I have. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my childhood was pretty hectic. And I think the music I make has a lot to do with hectic feelings and processing them. And so sometimes memories from childhood come out in the songs that I do, and dreams, nostalgic moments.
That explains. I took some words from one of the reviewers, and they immediately resonated for me. Titanic and quiet, eerie and soothing, ghostly and alive. And that totally worked for me, because that's by listening to your music. And what you play on Wednesday nights is, if I understand correctly, not your own music, but that of others, perhaps some of yours as well. But it's apparently there are lots of musicians you appreciate, and I'm hearing a lot of that. With that,
I am going to play my own music tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So tomorrow night, okay, folks, I want to get you excited, but then, sorry, I'm going to crush your hopes. Tomorrow night, Grouper is going to take the stage at the Liberty Theater. It's, if I understand correctly, it's a solo act who is going to do a solo act. And might you put something together, the two of you as well?
Yeah, yeah. Marisa Anderson, an amazing guitarist, has agreed to open the show, but it's kind of like having a double headliner. She's amazing in her own right, and she's just released a really lovely is the wrong word, but it's a really impactful album, the anthology of un-American folk music. And her song, they are interpretations of other people's songs. She had access to an anthology, and she specifically chose songs from places that the U.S. has occupied for many years. And she'll be playing, I think, a lot of that album tomorrow night, which should be a treat.
Nice. I picked out one of her tunes, Taksim, because I lived in Turkey. That's about Syria. And she's on guitar. But you are a multi-instrumentalist, which, again, Anita, the space, that wonderful space you've created from a hole in the wall. It's a big hole in the wall, but it was a hole in the wall. I saw it. I saw you on your hands and knees putting the floor down, and I thought, who is this woman and what is she doing? And I didn't know at that time that you were a musician and that you actually use that space to create music as well.
Right, yeah, it's a studio as well. I also have I've been putting out vinyl almost from the moment I started making music, just because the scene I was in when I was younger, a lot of people were starting to do that. I'm grateful to have been around it and learned how to do that. And
When was that? When did you start?
Boy, that was like 2005. And I was kind of coming out of a much more experimental scene that we would call a noise scene in the Bay Area. Real experimental music, and they were real DIY, doing their own CDRs and tape cassette releases and vinyl eventually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I learned how to do that early on, and I still do it to some degree. So I have a label and my own art and music at Anita. You just don't usually see it because it's crammed in the back. But
yeah, well, the bathroom is in your behind. Okay, so how do people find your work and your art and your music?
You can see my artwork at repeatingpattern.com, my website, or check out music on most of the major streaming platforms. Just look for Grouper, or I have another band that also has an album coming up called Helen.
Mm.
We're releasing an album called Linda's Head next month.
As I said, the names of some of these, I went through them, I thought, one, it would be hard to figure out, you know, in a lineup, which one of these people is Grouper, and then figure out how it works together. I saw The Art of the Paradox and The Beauty of Mistakes. Were those early or later creations?
In terms of themes, yeah, those are, I think those are things I've, those are not the names of works I've created, but I think those are things I've discussed in interviews. I guess I do talk about paradox a lot, because I feel like I have a lot of opposites existing at once, which I'm sure some people can relate to. And I do relate to the description you read earlier of something that sounds heavy and hopeful at the same time, or dark and light.
That's interesting, dark and light, because a lot of, maybe all your art, but everything I see in love is black and white. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that connection. And this, yeah, right, having that kind of paradox connection too.
Mm-hmm.
The opposites. And I like to play with that in things like the song titles and the words in the song, having double meanings.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I like to create more than one interpretation in the lyrics.
I have something playing now. This was the second piece, if you remember. Which, can you tell us something about it?
Alien Observer?
Let's see.
Alien Observer is a song I recorded almost 10 years ago now. I think it came out, pop quiz. I don't know what year it came out, but it was the late 2000s. And it was on an album I made that consisted of two different, speaking of pairing opposites and doing absurd things, but there were two different LPs released separately, but they were technically part of the same release, because I was playing with this idea of having something that was two things and one thing at the same time. And Alien Observer is a track off of that album.
Did you, you said you started, you came out of the noise. This is so far beyond me. I mean, I was already old by the time you were starting to make music. So what does that mean? And what are you, how would you describe what you're doing now?
I mean, it's a good question, because those categories are broad, right? Noise or experimental. I think it is referring to music that challenges our idea of what music can be, kind of like Musique Concrète did in the 60s in that scene. Noise in particular has a lot of what we would think of as harsh or unpolished noises, in it. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean it's just loud and obliterative, even though some noise music is. There's also very quiet music. It's just non-traditional instrumentation, probably some Musique Concrète, which just means like field recordings from out in the world, so maybe like engine sounds or something else. And yeah, non-traditional setup. So I've seen people use contact mics on a cymbal and then use a bow on the cymbal. But yeah, it is a pretty wide term.
So tomorrow night, especially for those of you, I forgot to mention, the concert at the Liberty, 650 seats, is sold out. So go online and find Liz's music if you can't, if you're not coming. I'm one of the lucky ones. I'll be there. So what will we see? Do you have a bunch of instruments around you, or how?
I mean, that's a good question. Yeah, I play guitar and I sing, but I have a lot of pedals and other electronics that I'm using. I use little handheld tape cassettes and do tape collage live. I have another sampler or two, and I also use what's called a looper pedal to loop my own voice to sing harmonies. So there'll be moments where it sounds like there's more people on stage than there are, or an instrument being played that's not actually on stage if I'm using a keyboard sample or something. But you'll also see a film. I'm playing with the film by filmmaker Dickie Botto. He made a new work for this tour that I'm about to leave on. You guys will be the first to see it.
Oh, cool.
So, it's lovely. Called Shadow on a Marble Tablet, and he does old school film. It's film, 16 millimeter. And very impressionistic. You'll have to see tomorrow.
Okay. One other question. How did you learn all this stuff? Because you're not just a musician. You're also a producer. So you have all this electronic stuff. I'm pretty sure most people who are making the music are not also putting it together and figuring out how to do all that. How did you come to that?
I think that goes back again to the group of people I was around who were making music and art when I came of age in the Bay Area, because everything, people were doing things themselves, doing their own production and releases, recording at home, starting to do vinyl. There was just starting to be streaming platforms where you could get your own deal with them if you weren't a label, which was at the time a new type of thing. So it was the scene around me, but I've always been a little stubborn about wanting to learn things and do things myself.
Oh, really?
And so I'm self-taught on most of it, and you know, I'm not necessarily, you know, a virtuoso guitar player or anything because I'm self-taught. So it also has to do with coming to the idea of making music or creating something, not with the idea of making something perfect or polished, but just seeing what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I and 649 plus other people are definitely looking forward to see what happens tomorrow evening. I will put on just a very short piece of Marisa Anderson, who's part of the concert, and she's going to be opening for you. And she also has been here. She was at Anita's a couple of years ago, I think. So that was cool, too. So keep your eyes out, folks. Look up Grouper. If you live here, be sure when you see the word Anita, the name Anita, maybe it's someone else, but it's just as likely to be Liz's event center, rehearsal space, live, creative, exciting place to be. So thank you so much for coming in, and also listen in Wednesday nights to KMUN. What time is that, 8:30?
Yes, 8:30 to 10:30.
Okay, 8:30 to 10:30. And there might be some tickets that don't get picked up tomorrow night. If you're in the neighborhood and you want to come over to the Liberty and hang out, maybe you'll be lucky. So thanks so much.
Thanks, Carol.
Little Marisa Anders. Stay tuned for something completely different, but not really. Thank you. We're listening to Marisa Anderson, who's opening for Grouper tomorrow evening at the Liberty Theater, 7:30 p.m. And meanwhile, I'm going to send us off to something entirely different, but not. I say that because I'm a believer in good music is good music. So have a listen and get ready for my next guest. This is KME Whitten, Astoria Arts Live and Local. What you're listening to, why, and how. And you can hear Mark Meadowlark on KMUN Friday, every other Friday evening, alternating with Nico. Mark's been on for over 30 years on this fabulous radio station. Hey, Mark. Hi.
Thank you. Thank you. So, and such an honor to be here, Carol. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Usually we're just passing the night because you come when I'm leaving. But who's this and why are we listening to?
Well, Clinton Farron is coming to Astoria to play a concert on Sunday at the PAC at 5 o'clock.
At the Larson Center on 16th and Franklin.
Thank you.
A.K.A. the PAC.
Yeah, it used to be called the PAC.
Yeah.
And thank you to Charlene Larson. That was the Gladiators. Gladiators picked up Clinton Farron in 1969 when he was 18 years old.
Nice.
And he became a very busy professional recording artist and brought reggae music to the world as one of the greatest reggae ambassadors. And now he's a living legend and continues to bring great reggae, very heartfelt, serious songs. Carol, I want to give you a big kudo because years and years ago when I first took over the Caribbean Moon program, you said to me, Mark, remember, reggae music is folk music. And it stuck with me all these years. And I wanted to feel like, yeah, I can be part of the folk scene around here. And Clinton Farron really brings that entire feeling when he engages with the audience and with his acoustic program that he's going to do on Sunday.
I've seen in the write-ups the word love, and he feels from his photographs and the write-ups like he's just full of good spirit and caring compassion. Seth, you've met him.
Indeed. I did meet him. I got to interview him on the phone, and I wrote an article for Hipfish about him and his life a little bit. He is very genuine. He reminds me of our old friend Brigido a little bit because he's so kind. And no, I have to say, it was a great pleasure, and we were very excited when Deborah Heesch, his promoter here in the Northwest, was able to bring him to the Charlene Larson Center. This would not happen at all without her and her connections there with the great Clinton Farron, who now lives in Seattle.
Lucky us. So if we turn out and love him up, love him back, maybe we'll get to see more of him.
Yes, in indeed. Meantime, he does go to Alaska every year, and he's made friends there in some of the villages.
Oh, lovely.
And because of the way the people in the village work together to support each other to survive and live, just like they do in Jamaica, he really feels a deep kinship with the people there. Wouldn't it be great if our Astoria community could come and help him feel some deep kinship? Because here, especially at this radio station, we do help each other out, and we help each other survive through thick and thin. We're doing it as we speak. We have people grieving all the time. We have constant people in our community who need love and support, and here we are doing it, Carol. Thank you so much for doing that.
I love that. I love that.
Well, one other little thing. I know this is a quick interview. I want to tie in the Clinton Farron concert a little bit with one of our dear artist friends here. Joey Altruda is quite famous in his genre of music, playing in Brazil and things, and playing with some of the top musicians in the world. And Ernest Ranglin is one of the artists that Joey has recorded with. Well, it just so happens that Clinton Farron's hero when he was growing up, learning guitar, was the same one and only Ernest Ranglin.
Oh, my.
Who, by the way, is still recording at the age of, I believe, 96 or 97. He's also the legend of all time. Anyway, so I want to give a big shout out to Joey, who is actually performing this weekend at that reggae festival that's going on over on Pier 39. He's going to be DJing and emceeing about 4 today and doing some jamming with the Israelites. And Joey, we want to give you a big shout out. Thank you so much for representing and being our ambassador with the folks over there at that outfit.
Thanks, Joey. Love ya. And Mark, love you big time for many, many years, and lots of folks in the community. Mark himself is a very fine musician, and some of us were lucky enough to see Mark and his whole family come here and play, and what a gift. So we'll get you back in the limelight, not to mention the Ma Barley concerts and anyway, parties. Okay, so this is happening this Sunday, 5 p.m. at the Larson Center. That's 16th and Franklin, a.k.a. The Pack. And you can go to Partners for the Pack and get your ticket in advance. And that helps things to move quickly, and hope to see you there. Thanks, Mark, for all you've done to pull this together.
Deborah Heesh.
Deborah, yes. I haven't met Deborah yet. Look forward to it. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
I've got another piece of music for my last guest, and this is Portland composer Thomas Meinson. And have a listen, and then we will welcome my last guest here on Arts Live and Local, KMUN, Astoria. Don't forget that Pledge Drive is going to be coming up very shortly. Just keep it in mind. Thanks, folks, for being here. Thank you. love this music. What is this? Iris Sullivan, Dare.
Hello.
My last illustrious guest for the day. What are we listening to? Thomas Meinzen.
So he is one of two musicians that are contributing to the soundscape of the show that's going to open in, what is it, like 12 days or something at Astoria Visual Arts.
Yep. Well, I know. A little bit more. Oh. The 12th of September.
12th of September.
Yeah. 14 days.
I have quite a bit to do between now and then.
Yeah, well, let's say Iris has been a bit busy because last night she opened across the river at the Southwester at the Trailer Art Gallery, right?
Yeah.
How did that go?
It was very sweet. So it was actually like a mid-show reception, but there was a showing for two Northwest filmmakers with some short films that were filmed on the Long Beach Peninsula in connection to Southwestern. Those were fabulous, actually. I'm so sorry their names are just totally gone.
And they're going to be in the film bus?
I think you can, yeah. Showing? Yeah, I don't think it was only for yesterday. No. I think they're like going to be there for some odd time.
They wouldn't dare do that.
No, you have to go see them. Yeah. They're really good. And so it was a... It was really great. So that's the Weaving Water installation. I'm doing a kind of a year and a half long fellowship with the Southwester Arts in providing these seasonal installations. So this one will be up until basically the equinox, and then there'll be a different one I put in.
Ooh, and this, I read it. It's Reverence, Reflection, and Collective Action. And the question... What water do you belong to? Woo!
And I do feel like these are times for us to, instead of thinking about water as something that we can own, when it's actually like the life on our planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like
and
this,
our bodies.
And our bodies Everything. Are made out of, our planet is the water planet. And so we belong to the water, I was proposing, and asking people to think about what waterways that contribute to them. And there are two ways for people to interactive installation. So there's two ways for people to interact with the exhibit. They can either write, and I made a river book, a tributaries book, and
of course you did.
Of course I did. And people are writing all sorts of things in there, which is wonderful. And then we made a big stand-up tapestry loom, and there's a community tapestry. And then the weft that people are weaving in to symbolize rivers that or place waterways that they feel connected to. And they're dyed different colors, and it's strips of called sheets from the Southwester.
Oh, great. So it all comes together.
It all comes together, yeah.
By the way, that dress you're wearing, did you make that pattern?
I didn't make the fabric. I did make the dress.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't it good?
Just checking.
I was
gorgeous.
Wearing my sunshine dress for you.
Yeah. Thank you. And your colors are indigo. And what are the red and yellow called?
So for the transitioning to the Southwester to the AVA.
Astoria Visual Arts Show, which opens September 12th on Second Saturday Art Walk and runs through October 5th. And AVA is now on Commercial just west of 10th Street.
So, I'm very excited to, this is the first show I've been, is that true? This is the first show I've been in since they moved to the new beautiful space.
Big space.
Last winter.
Yeah.
But this is the third installment of a biannual series that I've been curating. So some of you may have gotten to see in 2022, we did Indigo, the Indigo Matrix, and that had international artists that were working with Indigo. And then right after the election in 2024, we had the Matter Reds, and that was also there was a bunch of artists. I think there were 12 artists in that show, and then of course both of them had young artists as well. And this is the third installment, and it's yellows from the natural world, including mineral pigments. And there's 16 artists. Ooh. And 12 young artists and two sound composers. and three farms.
It's a good thing they moved into a bigger space.
I know. I did feel a little bit freed to expand a little.
Okay. What was the last thing you said? Three farms?
So because we wanted to have, because, so like indigo is a bunch of different plants, but it's one molecule. That blue is the same molecule depending, it doesn't matter which plant you get it from. There's very limited number of plants that you can get indigo from, but they're all making the same molecule. So that was a very limited thing. Like all the art was basically colored with one molecule. I mean, you know, not one molecule.
Even though
around,
they're all different
they
colors.
Were all, no, they, well, they, that, they were, they that was, appear. That was very blue. Yeah. Yeah. And, there are other right. colors in the plant, but anyway, and then red matter is a root, Rubia tinctorium, is the one that was grown in Europe and in, like in the Middle East as well. There, but it's like, there's a bunch of related plants. I think of it like a sisterhood, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. there were plants in that genus in the Americas and, you know, like all over that we're using those. And it's a much more complex thing. Like the Rubia tinctorium has like 20 different colors in its roots. So that show was reds, but there were also oranges and pinks. And like it was more expanded. And, but yellow is like, yellow is the proletariat. Like people like talk about indigo as the king and they talk about matter as the queen matter. But yellow is like all of us, right? Oh, wow. Because like if you look out, we live in this very green place. When you look out at all of those plants, they are all producing yellow pigment. So like not all of them are pigments that will not fade very quickly. Many of them fade very quickly. So they're usually, but it's of the colors, of the three primary colors, there's the least amount of profound suffering and corruption associated with yellow. I mean, people have literally killed other people for yellow or for blue, and indigo red. Blue and red. Like both of them have like lots of espionage, lots of like craziness. And yellow was so everywhere. There was very little trade in yellow because people could find the good yellows where they lived. And so I think these times we need to be thinking not about only the elite, mm-hmm. but we need to be thinking about all of us collectively, and I feel like yellow is the color of these times because it is a color of it's.
That's fantastic. Now, is that a scholarly treatise that's been written, or is that your, I should say, and is that your scholarly treatise, or did you make this all up? But where is this?
What do you mean that
the king, queen, and proletarian?
I didn't invent the fact. Like indigo, okay. It's been referred to as the king of dyes. You know, like and matter has been not just by me referred to in that way. Probably not like ubiquitously, but definitely like other mm-hmm. people and you know, because they are so important. And you look at like older countries, their flag colors are almost always red and blue because of indigo and matter, because they were the most weather fast of the dyes. And so, you know, it's and they're amazing, right?
But yellow.
So I will put a little shout out to my Irish ancestors who were expert dyers. And they were famous for these voluptuous linen shirts that just had way more fabric than necessary to be like, you know, an expression of power and prowess. Mm-hmm. these saffron shirts, right? Mm. That were, you know, these just like bright yellow. So you think about when you look at globally, you look mm-hmm. at traditional dress, which I know you know a lot about, like traditional dress and from in relationship to dance costume mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. But like traditional dress is always really, really colorful. And yeah, so anyway, that's just a little aside. Like, it's like when people start dressing in beige and gray and brown and like and black, it's like,
folks,
it's an interesting thing.
It's a good thing you're not in the studio. Iris is in this fabulous red, yellow, curlicue dress, and I'm in gray and black. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I'm going home and changing my clothes immediately. No, but, it's true. It's true about what color does for us too.
Yes.
And but I was totally unaware of what you're talking about in terms of the scientific aspect, the molecules and the roots, and then the fact that yellow's in everywhere.
It's
available.
It's available, yeah.
But not necessarily as permanent.
When you talk about fastness, when you talk about fabric.
Right.
And not there. When you think about fabric, fastness can is just referring to like, does it shift or change? So like, is it, can you wash it? So that's wash fastness. Does it fade in light? That's light fastness, right? And like, does it, is it impacted by acids or like if you spill lemonade on your dress, is it going to totally all fade away? So like fastness has like a bunch of facets, but back to the Irish, their primary yellow in Europe was weld, which is a very weedy looking plant, though the bees love it, and it smells really good. But weld, they refer to it as the big yellow, like in Irish language, it was like basically translated. It's like, this is like the chieftain yellow. So like, because it had the greatest fastness, but it also grows quite easily. Right. So like, you know,
right.
So back to their big voluptuous.
Well, I'm thinking of tansy.
Tansy.
Everywhere.
Yes.
And quite yellow.
Yes.
So, okay. So quickly, not too quickly though.
Okay.
What are people going to see at the Astoria Visual Arts AVA Gallery on Commercial just west of 10th Street? When they show up for your show, Adoration of Light, on September 12th.
So on what they're going to see, there's...
And here.
So there will be sound, so you'll be able to hear music in different parts of the gallery, hopefully, if I can figure it out with the help of some friends. There'll be two different soundscapes in the two different ends, so like the front music will fade out and then you'll walk towards and you'll hear different music in the back. And one of so we heard Thomas, and he is also an ornithologist. Very influenced by his love of birds, and like some of the music
has bird sounds.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't.
And then
realize it was real.
Tarun Nayer is a biologist, and he is utilizing as well as a musician and composer, and he is utilizing, I don't really understand it, but there are these devices that can pick up the energy in plants, and then you can kind of translate it to notes. So if it's in this range, it can be this note. And he has his soundscapes have, and I don't have it as a CD, so I didn't bring it, but I just have it as a file right now. And so there's music that is literally, he's partnering with plant energetics to create sound, and it's also very beautiful.
Fantastic.
So that's what you'll hear.
Okay.
I'm hoping that you will be able to smell. There's going to be quite a bit of dried plant material from a bunch of different plants. And I am creating some installation that's kind of creating the structure for the space. And so there'll be little zones for the different artists. And so there are quilt artists. There are paper artists. I'm just looking down at the list here. There are some other installation artists, and so there'll be some interactive parts. Tarenya Fick is creating some warblers that will be interactive with each other across the gallery. There's also local artist Jessica Schleif is creating some botanical,
of course,
like some amazing things. Constance Wiesenen is creating a quilt. I'm just giving some local
names.
Artist names shout outs. Brittany Bowles from down in Gearhart is doing some.
She was your Indigo partner.
She is, yes. She's part of the whole Indigo Adventures. Kyla Sorgen from Wheeler is a weaver. And Kamion may know the name of Emma Geddes.
Oh, yeah.
And who now lives in Vermont. And she also is a weaver.
Okay.
And is sending a piece from Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm trying to, like, where else, who else?
What are you, are you just curating or do you have
No, I'm doing a lot.
Of course. That was a rhetorical question. But
I'm doing installation. The largest physical part of the installation is going to basically be I don't know what the title is yet, but basically I wove 9 yards. I'm making a huge in the wintertime when it's really dark, what I like, my like the battery inside myself to get through winter is that I take naps in my yard. I have this little mat that I bring around. I live in the woods, but I follow the sun around and I take little sun naps whenever I can in the summer. And then in the wintertime, I just imagine myself like in like laying in the sun and taking a little cat nap in the sun. And so I'm basically making a big giant sun, like a kind of like a
sun mat.
It's going to be a kind of a bed, but yeah, with a big giant solar tartan. Well,
clearly, we have to get there to see this. Now, I don't have the hours for the gallery at this point. Do you have
that? Oh, I do. So okay. The gallery is open Thursday through Monday. Okay. So they're closed Tuesday and Wednesday. And the open hours of the gallery are 11 to 3.
Oh, great.
And you can also contact us to make other arrangements. So, like, good, it is possible to have appointments to see the show. Okay. The opening is happening. It's like noon to 8. And at 5, we'll do a little walkthrough and talk. And you'll get to meet some of the artists.
Okay. Thank you so much, our friend, former KMUN programmer, local creative genius, Iris Sullivan Dare, she just keeps moving and creating. I don't know what color is next because she's covered the 3 primaries, so this is going to be challenging. Iris, thanks so much for coming in. Congratulations on the show.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Can't wait to see it.
A lot of beautiful work.
Okay.
I recommend.
I bet. So I, folks, I have something I want to play you briefly that is happening. I should make sure to tell you Horse Feathers, wonderful Horse Feathers, are at the McTavish Room this evening at 7:30. Also, Kala is featuring Wolf Child, lyrical storytelling, music. And I have a piece here. I'm going to try to have you hear it. So let's try it.
Have you ever stayed in the theater just to watch the last of the credits roll? Thought to yourself about the end of your life, and if you would see a similar sight, starring your mother, your father, maybe your lover, a son, a daughter, and all of those friends that made every breath you drew all the more worth it in the end.
Well, it's coming time. The end is coming. They just sang. So I'm going to need to bring that down. That's Wolf Child at Kala this evening. And that is 7:30. The Liberty McTavish Room, the Horse Feathers are also 7:30. Cannon Beach opening for Natural Found Beach Objects is 4:30 today. Lion's Den, JoJo Gold, Surging Waves, Community Sing at 5:30. Manzanita Farmers Market, Rhythm Method is back, and the Rigs and Reggae is going on at Pier 39. Tomorrow, Brown's Meat Farmers Club is having the corn feed from 5 to 7. You can get your tickets online at Eventbrite or at Two Old Goats Feed Store, and maybe even at the door. Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum fundraiser with Skamakaway Swamp Operas tomorrow at 4. Martin Nygaard, Celebration of Life, is at the fairgrounds tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I bought my property from Martin Nygaard 52 years ago. I remember him well. Sunday, the Larson Center is featuring Clinton Fearon, 5 p.m. That's an unusual one. And the Historia Sunday Market is the Brownsmead Flats. Winecraft's Rick's Mike is on Tuesday. Gotta go. Thanks, folks, for being here. KMUN Astoria, 91.9, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, KMUN.org.
Support for KMUN programming comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.